Awesome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. There's a stack of music up here. Nice. I'm going to move this. Awesome. You guys having a good morning so far? Come on. Oh, Jesus. The goodness of God. Come on. It never changes, right? I love that song. Seriously. It's crazy, like, the goodness of God, regardless of your circumstances, the goodness of God is an anchor that you need to fashion your life to. Come on, it's a cornerstone for everything you view God's personality, perspective, what he's doing. The goodness of God is a cornerstone, is an anchor point for your life. If you're in circumstances right now and we're singing that song, you're like, I'd like to think God's good, but it doesn't look like it right here. If you're in that spot this morning, I want to encourage you that if you can't see the goodness of God in front of you, it's because you have yet to see his plan and his purpose in that circumstance and situation. And I want to encourage you this morning that if you're facing circumstances like that, that you press into God, because there is an encounter waiting for you in that moment. There is a place, there is a thing that he's wanting to show you and give you in those circumstances. Amen? Amen. All right, that's not my message. We're going to move on, but that song. We could just call the band back up here and just, come on. Like, I was ready. I was ready to take the microphone off and be like, all right, just go, guys. Anyway, sorry. We could just do the whole service with worship. I'm good with that. What I want to do this morning, actually, is jump off of something Caleb started a couple weeks ago, Purpose of Heart. And for me, he kind of touched on it, kind of moved on and talked about some other stuff. And I actually want to pick up on that verse that he referenced in Acts chapter 11. And I just want us to explore this topic a little bit more, because I feel like there's something in it for us this morning. Amen? So let's just pray. Just lay your hand on your heart this morning. Just pray this with me. Say, Father, open my heart. Say again, Father, open my heart. God, open our hearts this morning as your word comes forward. Lord, that anything that is setting itself up against the knowledge of Christ, God, any stronghold, any perspective that would keep us from experiencing your goodness in our life would be torn down this morning, would be removed. That veil that is keeping us from seeing your glory and your goodness would be removed from our eyes this morning, that we can encounter your love in a way that changes our hearts and changes our lives. Amen. Amen. All right, well, I kind of have a couple different topics, not really different topics, but a couple different, like, chunks that we're going to try to make work together. I think it worked out in the first service, so we're going to try it again right now. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with this verse in Acts chapter 11. Let's look at this again. It says this. It says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, referring to Barnabas, and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Now, this verse is referring to the disciples in Jerusalem. Their disciples are facing a ton of persecution, and Barnabas shows up on the scene to encourage them in where they're at. Obviously, the kind of persecution that they're facing there is the kind that we read about in places like China or Iraq or Afghanistan, some of these places where they are outright murdering Christians. And this is the kind of place and perspective that we need to read here when we see this. It says, with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. Now, what I want us to do is kind of look at this again and kind of explore what this looks like for us. So in Greek, the word purpose here for this phrase is prosthesis. I'm not a Greek scholar. So prosthesis is the word. But it actually means this. It means a setting forth of a thing, placing of it in view. And it also, in Greek, references the showbread. How many of you guys are familiar with what the showbread was? It was the bread in the tabernacle of Moses that was put on the altar before God. And it referenced of the face of God is what it referred to. Which is interesting because the word also means purpose, right? It actually means an intention or objective, a purpose. What's crazy is in the Greek, this word has with it marrying the idea of your intention and your purpose with action. With putting it out there. Your purpose, your intentions really don't mean anything unless you're willing to put them out there and actually make choices that reflect those purposes. This word itself ties these two ideas together. It says, right, the word means actually placing of it in view. So if you really want to be a good father, like you're like, oh, my goal is to be a good dad. And yet you choose to treat your children with contempt or irritability or frustration, you're not actually being a good father, are you? What you're doing is you're putting something else in view. This idea of purpose of heart is this thing that marries your intention with your actions. You have to put those two together, otherwise your intentions don't mean much. James says it this way in James chapter 2, verse 17. It says, thus also faith by itself, the verse you want to put this up there, faith by itself felt, we'll try this again now that it's up there. Let's try this. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And then again in verse 26, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This idea that your faith doesn't matter unless you're willing to do something about it. You can say you believe something, but if you're not actually willing to make a few choices that reflect that, it's not going to matter at all. Your faith is meaningless, is what this verse says. Faith without works is dead. Faith is meant to be alive. It's meant to affect things and change things. It's intended to have results in your life, but those results happen through your choices and what you choose to put out there. It's interesting that in the world of sports psychology, there has been a dramatic shift from the focus on confidence to what's called mental toughness. How many of you guys are familiar with the term mental toughness? Mental toughness is an idea that goes beyond just confidence. But what happened was is they've done a lot of studies over like what makes a champion a champion? What's the difference between someone that has every gift, every talent, they have it all together, they have the best training camp, they have the best coaches, they have the best, you know, conditioning, diet, nutrition, they have the raw talent, they have everything that would make a champion. What's the difference between them and people that are actually champions? And so, you know, for a while, everyone talked about confidence. It was confidence, believing in yourself, believing in your ability. It's the difference when you get out there. But what they begin to find is if you only had confidence, when you get into a situation and your game plan fell apart, all of a sudden there was this like faltering that began to happen. Mental toughness wraps up this several kind of concepts into one in one term. It's self-confidence first, yeah, believing in your ability, confidence. It actually brings in hope, which is this idea that, hey, you actually have what it takes to win, right? Hope that you're going to win. It mixes in with it this ability to change the game plan when it doesn't work out. Like to come up against adversity and then realize, okay, we got to shift this, and I can keep working forward. It's this idea that, hey, when my game plan doesn't work, what do I do now? If this play all of a sudden falls apart, what do I do now? When every time I attempt this, they have the defense for it. It doesn't work out. What am I going to do? And they found that it's consistent in team sports or in individual competitor sports. Personally, I love combat sports, and so that's kind of a lot of my context for some of this stuff. But it goes way beyond that. It's this idea that says, you know what? I put in the hours, I put in the training, but beyond all of that, when I get inside that match, when I step on the court or on the field, that I am going to continue pressing forward regardless of what adversity I'm facing. That I have decided we are going to win this game. And regardless of what the defense is doing, what the other team is doing, whatever they think they have, I'm going to continue pressing forward because I can win. So that means we're going to make adjustments. If we fail, if we lose, it doesn't matter. We're going to make those adjustments and keep working forward. We're going to think on the fly. We're going to adapt. We're going to keep pressing forward regardless of what's happening against us. Now, what does this have to do with purpose of heart? Well, when you wake up in the morning, you're like, you know what? It's a new year. New Year's resolution. Come on. Right? How many of you guys, January 1st, were like, it's time for that diet to happen. Boom. You waited during Christmas. This is what I do. Christmas comes along. It starts with Thanksgiving. Do you know what I'm saying? I ramp up. I kind of have some warm-up meals. heading into Thanksgiving. I mean, any good competitor knows you got to do some warm-ups. So before Thanksgiving, the week or two before Thanksgiving, I kind of slowly start ramping up my eating, you know? Hit Thanksgiving, and it launches me into the Christmas season. Oh, my goodness. Right? So then, you know, Christmas comes along, and I jump on the scale, and I'm like, oh, Lord. Praise God, one more week, and then I'm going to start eating good. Right? So January 1st comes along, and it actually, if you own a gym, it's the highest. It's like what carries your business through the rest of the year is January and February. New Year's resolution sales. It's like, it'll like launch your business for the rest of the year. So you kind of bank on that, right? So everybody's like, yes. Okay, so January 1st comes along. You're like, all right, I'm getting up at 6 a.m. I have this, I got my DVD, my ab-burning DVD. I'm going to have a six-pack, right? You're like, you're ready. Ready. Fitness, you got it. You got your meal plan. You went and got the protein shakes and the supplements, and you're ready to start, right? Okay, so January 2nd comes along because January 1st, obviously, you were up super late. The 31st, come on, guys, right? New Year's Eve. So, okay, I'm going to start January 2nd because that's going to be my normal routine. January 1st doesn't count, okay? It's a holiday, right? January 2nd comes along, the alarm goes off, and you're like, oh, Lord, it's dark and cold. I'm not quite awake. My body has to, like, learn how to wake up at this time again. So let me snooze. I just need 5 minutes to snooze. You're like, that's just 5 minutes. I'm awake. My body is just kind of catching up. And you all know you fall straight back asleep, right? You're like, you're out. This is my problem, actually, Savannah's like, our alarm goes off, she gets up, and I'm like, I'm awake. I'm awake. My body's going to catch up in just a second. Bleep. Right? Never works, right? You're back asleep. Pretty soon, the alarm goes off again. And you're like, okay, hold on. I'm almost there. Pretty soon it's 7 o'clock and you're like, oh my gosh, I gotta go to work. So you get up, you go to work, and then you're sitting at your desk, you're working, and you're like, all right, it's okay, it's still the second, it's still my first day, I'm gonna hit the gym on my way home. I can make it. And then you get stuck in a meeting at work, and then traffic, and it's getting a little late, and you're like, I gotta get home and see the kids. I can't just like go to the gym now, right? Come on, how many of you guys, like, that's a common story, right? The reality is it doesn't matter how much you want to be fit. If you don't make choices that reflect that, you'll never be fit. Doesn't matter how many times you dream about it, you watch the movies, you buy the stuff, it doesn't matter. What matters is your choices. Identity is one of my core things. It's one of my life messages. It's stuff I've had to walk through, like dealing with insecurities and stuff. So it's like, it's easy for me to preach a message about that. And it's not about that this morning, but I want to tie something in. Because the Father sets your identity. You are now a new creation. But until your choices reflect that, your life is still this other thing. Your life is the conglomerate of all the little choices you choose to make every day. You can wish that you were a good father and a good husband, but if you don't make choices that reflect that, you won't be. Doesn't matter how much you love your kids. Doesn't matter how much you love your spouse. If you don't make choices that reflect that, you won't be that. You know, so come on, how many guys, right? I'm ultra focused or like super distracted, right? So if I'm really focused on something, little noises, things like that kind of like get to me. I start to get irritable and frustrated and come on, right? Come on. I'm not alone, please, right? I am? Okay. Yes, I got. Okay, good. Thank you. Jeez. Making me nervous for a second. I have 3 little kids, okay? The scale of like opportunity for me to be irritable is very high, okay? They're 7, 4, and 2. All right, and if you know my beautiful, sweet, cute daughter, who if you see her, you're just going to be like, oh my gosh, she's the cutest little girl. This is her. Dad, I want to watch Frozen. Dad, I want to watch Frozen. Dad, I want to watch Frozen. Okay, hang on. Dad, I want to watch Frozen. Dad, I want to watch Frozen. Dad, I want to watch Frozen. Okay, sweetie, I'm making dinner. Oh, just, hold on. We said movie night. It's okay. Dad, I want to watch Frozen. Dad, I want to watch Frozen. Dad, I want to watch Frozen. No, honey, we will, honey. Just wait. Don't watch Frozen. If you ask again, we're not watching Frozen. You know, like, there's that point where you're like, I'm about to break, and I love you. Like, okay, so if I choose in those moments to continue to be irritable and frustrated and just kind of like, come on, stop it. Why are you guys fighting? I'm making dinner. I'm kind of like setting the dishes down kind of hard on the counter and then on the table because the kids are still kind of fighting and doing their thing, right? Guess who they are getting to know? Guess who my kids are getting to know? Are they getting to know the person that I think I am and that I want to be? Are they getting to know this, oh man, when I have kids, I'm going to be the best father ever? No, what they're getting to know is an irritable, frustrated man that doesn't have any patience and can't handle their little things as children. That's who they're getting to know. I can wish I was the best father ever. I can even know that that's who I was created to be. I can read every book on parenting. I can read every verse. And I can wake up and be like, all right, today's the day I'm going to do it. But if I don't make the little choices in the moment, my children are getting to know this person that I'm choosing to be in every little moment of my life. Doesn't matter who you get to, you might even know me and think, oh man, he's not irritable. He's a great guy. He's all calm. But if I'm never that around my kids, guess who they're getting to know? Purpose of heart. Continue with purpose of heart. Allow the intentionality, the intentions, right? Intentionality is this philosophy of whatever you're thinking of, your mindset, what the focus and the perspectives of your mind currently. Allow that to connect with your actions to let it live out here and be seen. Purpose of heart, continue with purpose of heart. That person that you want to be, make choices that reflect that. Actually be them. It's not complicated. If you want to be a good dad, be a good dad. Like, just make choices that reflect being a good dad. Choose in the moment. I'm going to respond in patience without irritability right now. Honey, you're no fun. Please go to your room until you're ready to come down and be fun. I want Frozen. I want... Great, you can say that as much as you want in your room. When you're ready to be fine, you can come back down. Making a choice to verbally speak and reflect the person I want to be. And now who does she get to know? Right? If I want to be a loving husband and take care of this beautiful wife that God's entrusted me with, right? But I choose to be frustrated with her when I come home from work. Maybe I came out of a really stinky counseling appointment or just a rough meeting or stuff was breaking and falling apart and I get home and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm just about to lose it. She comes, I walk in and she's like, right? You left dishes in the sink this morning, which is common. I apologize, Savannah, wherever you're at, please forgive me, right? And I can choose to either respond in that frustration or I can choose to be the person I want to be. Now, it sounds simple, but it's not necessarily easy, right? That's why Barnabas said, continue with purpose of heart. It takes work, mental toughness. When my plan is to come home and be a good father, when I open that door and I see a mess, what do I choose to do? What am I choosing to do? Can I adapt to the circumstances and situations and continue to press in to be the person that I want to be? To be the father that God's created me to be? To be the husband or the boss or the coworker or the friend? Are you willing to make those choices that are extremely difficult and hard in the moment? To reflect that person. It's interesting. I had a really kind of a life-changing conversation one time at a Denny's restaurant. I was 18. I was in school of ministry. We used to do, like, there'd be services late at night. And so we'd get out. And the only place that was open was Denny's. So we'd go to Denny's. Open 24 hours. Woo, right? Eating junk food at, like, 2 a.m. And everybody else had left, right? All our friends. And I was sitting there with my friend. And in this conversation, I was in the middle of just, like, classic 18. I'm living on my own, just a mess of insecurity, trying to like make my way through this thing, you know, and just figure stuff out and just in that kind of turmoil. My friend's like, you know that person that you dream about being and like that person that you used to dream about, like you're going to be this? It's like, that's who you really are. I'm like, it kind of took me a second. He's like, no, that person that you dream about being, That's who you really are. Just that's your spirit like crying to get out, to allow your choices to reflect who your heart's crying out to be. In other words, hey, bud, be intentional with what choices you're making in life. It was the most gentle spanking, right? It's like, oh, you're right. Like, and then I begin to go after it. See, God's actually created you with purpose and destiny, but he also intends for you to be strong in those moments, to build mental toughness. It's interesting. We build strength physically, right, by going to the gym, working out, lifting muscles, and yet we just assume character comes through just, yeah, I've got a good character. Man, that person, he just has good character. He's just that kind of a guy. He's just a good dad. That's who he. No, actually, that's not who he is. He chose that. He made choices that reflected that when it cost him a lot. That cost him like his sense of justification when he walked home and was like, "No, man, you can't talk to me like that." I'm like all of that sense of self-righteous, like just like that's not right. No, he chose to work through that to be who he was. To build up the mental strength to make those choices when it mattered. It's interesting that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, right, we look at this verse about spiritual warfare. Can I read this to you guys? It's in verse chapter 10, verse 3. It says this, you can put up, yeah. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, right? Familiar? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A lot of times we stop, like when you memorize it, it's like, yeah, pulling down strongholds. Casting down arguments and every high, and another translation, lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Isn't that crazy? The knowledge of God bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, every argument. The actual warfare that's happening really is not out here. It's about your mind. It's about your perspective. See, if I'm in, right, I do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I used to do MMA, but like there's like all of this like wrestling, combat stuff, even football, basketball, a lot of those intense sports, you get into these moments where there's a point where you have to make a decision, like, am I actually capable of making this shot, scoring this goal? Like, can I actually face this opponent and win? Like, you have to battle with a perspective because it'll shape how you make your choices. What he's talking about here is the warfare is, are you willing to accept what Christ has done in your life and live according to that? Are you willing, the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of the anointed one, the anointing in your life, what Christ has done when he died and rose again, you are therefore now a new creation. You're not a rejuvenated version of yourself. You're a new species, is what the Greek word there means. A new species, something that has never existed before. You're not just a freshened up version. You're not like a sports car from the 70s that has been refinished. You are a new creation. The old is past and behold, the new has come. Come on. You have died with Christ and been brought into newness of life through the resurrection. If that's true, how does that change some things for your life right now? What argument, what perspective are you going to choose to partner with and motivate your choices in life? Purpose of heart. Intentionality, where are you going to allow the focus of your mind to go? I want us to look at this other kind of side of this. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, this verse is kind of an interesting verse for me. I used to read it and like, man, this does not make any sense whatsoever. Like, it's kind of weird. Let's read it. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And I'm like, what the heck is Jesus talking about right here? The kingdom of heaven up until this point hasn't suffered a lot of violence. If you look at what is from John the Baptist until now, this is like 2 years, 3 years, like a couple of years. There hasn't been a lot of religious persecution against Christianity or against what was going on, right? Just a few years. And he's like, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And it's like, that doesn't really seem to line up with a lot of what Jesus teaches, right? the violent taken by force. You're like, what are they taking by force? Who are the violent? But like, he's, you know what I mean? He's speaking to disciples, to people. You're like, this doesn't seem to make sense. I want us to look at this again. This word in the Greek that is translated here, suffers violence, is actually kind of an interesting one. It's, I don't know how to speak Greek, so again, I apologize if you do. It's biazo, it's B-I-A-Z-O. And here, it's in the middle voice, which there's not a direct correlation in English grammar for that voicing. But it's kind of like a passive kind of voice. And in that version, in that way of understanding the word actually means to crowd oneself into, to be seized or apprehended. So it says this, the kingdom of heaven is to be seized or apprehended through passionate, zealous action. And the passionate are going to apprehend it through their choices meeting their actions. The kingdom of God is apprehended through your passionate engagement with what you are going after. The kingdom of God. Do you want an inheritance in the kingdom? It requires that you actually get out of your seat and start making choices that reflect what you actually want. This verse actually packs with it this idea that God intended you to be passionate. He intended for you to not just live a soft, gentle existence. That doesn't, now if you're a soft, gentle person, that's wonderful. It actually has nothing to do with your personality. It has everything to do with your willingness to engage with the choices that you're making and the perspective you want. It has everything to do with, will your choices line up with what your thinking is? Will you make the choices that reflect the person that you want to be? God is actually invested in your maturity. He's invested in your mental toughness. He's invested in your mental strength that can make a stand when it counts. Are you willing to make choices that cost you a lot in the moment to reflect His goodness and His virtues in your workplace? God's actually wanting you to apprehend the kingdom of God with your passionate, zealous action, pressing in. It actually means to like press into a crowded room. Imagine with me that you're 18 or 19 or 17 and you're headed to your first concert. How did you apprehend the front spot? Is any person in that front zone gently, passively, just kind of letting it happen? Do you let it happen to be in the front? Anybody? No, you don't. Get out of my way, right? And you don't care if they're frustrated with you or you get the snotty looks like, what are you doing? I'm pushing up here. And you're like, I don't care. I want to be in the front. Gah! Right? The kind of, maybe not the concerts you go to, but what I used to go to when I was that age. Right? And the punk scene, hardcore scene, right? They're pretty violent. But there's actually a story about a lady that did that very thing. Come on, she was sick for 10 years. She was like, I could care less if I'm rejected by society right now. I could care less if they worry or if they give me an attitude or if they look at me with a snotty look, a self-righteous kind of like, she didn't care. She elbowed her way. She pushed her way through the crowd, grabbed the hold of the hem of His garment and was instantly healed. Instantly set free. The kingdom of God is apprehended when you engage with it with passion and purpose. Come on, purpose of heart. What do you want? What kind of person do you want to be? You know, oftentimes we get caught up in this idea where we're at our job and it's dark and we have an unethical boss or this coworkers that, you know, are just, they have nasty mouths and attitudes, and it's just, God, deliver me from this darkness, set me free. And yet a light has no purpose when it's in a room full of light. Your light serves no purpose when it's in a room full of light. God has delivered you. He's delivered you to the room full of darkness so that your light could make a difference. God set you free from a light, a life of obscurity. He set you free from a life of unimportance and no meaning. He delivered you into purpose and meaning. He delivered you into greatness by putting you in that room full of darkness so that your light could transform the world. Those people at your job, some of them, the only picture of God they will ever see is your life. They walk around crying, "Where's God? Is he real?" And God sent you to be that for them. People are crying out for deliverance, for hope and freedom. And you're crying out for deliverance and freedom from this darkness. And God's like, "I'm trying to answer their prayers. I'm really trying. I sent them a deliverer. I sent them somebody full of hope. I sent them a light." People are trying to escape the darkness of San Francisco when he actually sent believers there. Come on. God wants you here. He doesn't want California to fall off the face of the planet. Come on. God cares about San Francisco. He cares about Novato. He cares about your job and your workplace. He cares about Hollywood and the movie producers. And he cares about game makers and business. He cares about CEOs and corporations. He actually cares about those people. He cares about policemen and firefighters and all the different sectors of society. He cares about our education system and our politics and our government. Why? Because there are people. There are people there waiting to see God. And he sent you there to be that light. Did you know God sent a deliverer to the Pharaoh? He had a plan in place so that King Nebuchadnezzar could meet God. He had a plan in place so that all of these different famous people could see heaven. And it required an individual to make choices that were really hard, that were really tough, that reflected the nature of God in their circumstances. And in the process, their character was shaped. They went to the gym every day. They started with 5 pounds because they were weak and young and immature. And every day they showed up. They showed up, "I'm doing it, man. 10 pounds, 15 pounds. And pretty soon they go into Potiphar's house and get promoted to the chief of all the servants. And they've been building strength because every day they wake up and they make choices that reflect who God is in their life. Every day they choose to be the person that they were created to be. "I was chosen and destined to rule and to reign. And my circumstances don't dictate that. Don't control my life. I am me regardless of what's around me." And pretty soon Potiphar's wife comes in and says, "Hey, sleep with me. Come on. Come on, don't you like this body? Mm-mm, I got stuffs. Nobody will know." And there's Joseph, and he's like, "You know what? You might think you have stuff, but I got something way better." He was able to face the temptation in front of him because he chose to live life building strength through circumstances we will never hear about. How do we know he was able to do that? Because he actually passed the test with Potiphar. The only way he passes that test is that every day for years before that he woke up and made the difficult choices no one will ever hear about. He didn't just like have an easy life. Then all of a sudden Potiphar's wife shows up and he's like, "Oh yeah, I can totally resist temptation. No problem. She ain't got nothing." No, it doesn't work like that. God cared about his maturity. God cared about, "I need someone that is going to save thousands and millions of people from starvation and famine. So I'm going to build this person. Are you willing to go to school? Are you willing to go to the gym every day?" And Joseph says yes and goes through it. Goes into the prison. What happens again? He gets promoted. He's a prisoner and he's running the prison. Do you know? Because why? He's choosing to make choices that reflect who he is and who God is in his life, regardless of the circumstances. And when he was ready, he could then hand. Could you imagine the pressure, the temptation of being the second most powerful person in the known world? Could you imagine the emotional stress on his life that he was charged with saving a kingdom and thousands and millions of people from starvation? That's not an easy task. I mean, I get up and stress out about trying to just be a youth pastor. Do you know what I'm saying? I freak out at the fact that I have three kids that like need to eat. You know what I'm saying? And he was able to handle it. Why? Because he continued to press in with purpose of heart. He allowed to have intention and purpose meet what he was willing to show and put out in front of him. And every time that happened, he built the mental strength to be able to handle the pressure of being in that position. God has a purpose for your life. He has a destiny for your life. He has things that only you are going to be there to do and see change and affected. But it requires that you are willing to go to the gym, so to speak. That you're willing to make these little choices when no one's watching. Maybe only a few people are watching. Maybe a lot of people are watching. It doesn't matter, because you are going to make choices that reflect the purpose in your heart, the desires of going after this. I will be this person. This is who I am, and I'm going to make choices that reflect that. Doesn't matter who you hope to be, the choices you make in life is actually who you're choosing to be and who people are seeing around you. There are so many people that are dependent on you choosing to go to the gym. There are people's lives that are hungry and desperate, crying out for an answer that God is sending you to. And you just think you just ordered a coffee at Starbucks. Showing up at Pete's to kind of work on the sermon, and somebody from my gym shows up and he's like, "Oh my gosh, what are you doing here?" And it's like, "Hey, they said the other day you were a pastor. How does that work?" I'm like, "I don't know. I just am who I am, you know? Like, you know, like I don't hide the fact that I'm a pastor, but I don't always just throw it out there, especially when I'm at like places like at our gym or things like that, because it's like, I want to get to know people without any preconceived ideas. When they ask, I tell them. I don't hide it. I'm not like ashamed of it in any way. Obviously, like I love what I'm doing, right? But it's interesting. The other night, like our instructor, we're rolling, and they're like, "Hey, careful there! That pastor will choke you out." Like they're like start. And I'm like, "Hey, come on." You know, and after that, pretty soon I get an email that next week, and this guy's like, "Hey, like, can we go to breakfast? Like, I have questions, you know?" Or like, he shows up and he's like, "So the God that's in the Old Testament, that's a different God than the God in the New Testament, right? Because, I mean, the God in the New Testament is like this lovey-dovey, like he's really nice and kind, and the Old Testament God's angry and mean." And I'm like, "Actually, no, I would love to introduce you to God. To the real one." And we got to sit there and talk, and actually like his perspective, he's like, "I have never in my life heard that." It's like, "I've never actually even like seen like this thing that you're describing." God has placed you in people's lives to just be you, because when you're you and you're making those choices, it actually reflects God's goodness and nature around you. You know, when I excel at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it opens the door for me to have more authority with when we talk. Did you know that? When I actually do a good, when I apply myself at the gym, whether I'm a great or bad, or but when I apply myself, it actually gives more authority to my voice when we talk. Why? Because they can see that, like, hey, I'm actually going after something. I'm applying myself. When you excel at your job, when you apply yourself to the task in front of you, it will give more authority to your voice when people ask questions. They're going to pay attention to what you have to say and what you have to say about certain circumstances and things. Guys, there is a hungry, desperate world that is needing the body of Christ to stand up with purpose of heart and press into it, regardless of the adversity, regardless of perspectives. And it requires that we engage with purpose of heart. That you wake up in the morning, you realize, you know what, my choices matter. These little choices, these little things, they actually matter. They're intended to bring strength to my life so that I can shoulder the responsibility and the pressure later. When you wake up in the morning, Paul said it like this. He said, "Run the race worthy of the prize." Do you want to be a good dad? Make choices that reflect being a good dad. You want to be a great wife? Make choices that reflect being a good wife. Go find a book, right? Go find out what great wives do and do that. You want to be great at speaking French? Find out what great French speakers do and do that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's simple. It's not complicated. You want to be a great business person? Find out what great business people do. Do you know what I'm practically and do that. Organize your finances, but build a healthy team. Like, find out those things and do that. If I want to be great at jiu-jitsu, what do? I find out what great people do. I watch YouTube. I read articles. I do and then I go and do those things. I pay attention when I'm getting instruction and applying myself, and I do those things. Do you want to have effect in your workplace? Find out what some of the most transformative people in history have done and do that. King Nebuchadnezzar had an encounter with God because Daniel was a fantastic advisor. Daniel didn't preach the gospel every chance he got. Daniel was a fantastic advisor. He stewarded the kingdom well, and out of that, King Nebuchadnezzar was like, oh my goodness, your God is the God above all gods. Your God is the one that I will serve. Guys, it's important that we wake up in the morning with purpose of heart. Man, if you guys want to come up here, we're wrapping up right now. I want to leave you with a couple thoughts. I love this verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And this word to stand doesn't refer to this passive, like, not sitting, but standing. You know what I mean? It doesn't refer to, like, I'm in a vertical position right now. Like, it's not that. It's actually this thing of foundation of, like, a stance that's anchored and strong, that's able to resist and withstand what's going on. Guys, it's time. It's time that we engage with purpose of heart. That we don't shirk our responsibilities or shrink away and cry out for deliverance. But that we wake up and we face the circumstances that we have in front of us with purpose, with passion, with the revelation that, you know, God is good. God, I'm going to press into this. This adversity, I'm going to change the game plan. I'm going to approach it here. I'm going to do this. And continue to press forward, because in that process, you are being built into something great. Something that's strong, that can resist temptation and pressure and stress and engage in a way that transforms society. Why don't you guys stand with me this morning? I want to do this. I feel the need with a group this size. Like, I want to make an invitation. If you don't know God in this way, if you're here, maybe you're invited by somebody, and you're like, you know what, you preached about this God that cares about what I do in life, like, actually is invested in who I am. I want the opportunity to introduce you to Him. If you've never personally received Jesus into your life, I want to be able to pray with you this morning. If that's you, I want you just your hand up. We want to pray together. Just want to give a moment if that's you. If you're in this room and you're like kind of on the fence, you're like, man, like, I'm not sure. I want to give you that opportunity because God is passionately pursuing you. Maybe your perspective on God is kind of messed up. Maybe you had people in your life that were supposed to be Christians or supposed to be good people that gave you a wrong perspective on who God is. And I want to introduce you to the real God. God that cares about you and loves you, that pursued you. Amen. All right. Well, the other thing I want to do is if you're here this morning and you're like, I need some more strength in my heart. I need to engage with purpose in my circumstances and the choices I'm making in life. I think pretty much everyone in here could say, in all honesty, that there are areas of your life that you are ready to, like, okay, it's time for me to engage with purpose of heart in this area. It's okay. I want you to just to stay where you're at right now and put your hand on your heart. I want to pray with you guys. Because it's simple, man. We make choices all the time. Thank God there's grace, man. Mercy means we don't get what we deserve, and grace is that we get a whole bunch of stuff that we don't deserve. Come on. Not only is God going to wipe that stuff clean, but He's going to give you what you need to press forward in this thing. So just simply do this. Where you're at, just say this. Just, Father, I confess that I was irritable with my kids when I shouldn't have been. I was grumpy and frustrated. I wasn't treating them kindly. Whatever it happens to be, just begin to say that out loud to yourself. Just on your own, in your own words, just say, Father, I did this. I'm sorry. Like, I shouldn't have been acting this way. I've been shirking my responsibilities at work. I've been crying out for deliverance from a place that you sent me to bring change. Yeah, Father. Just say this with me real simply. It's super powerful. Say, Father, please forgive me. Come on, say this with me. I love to say it. I receive your forgiveness.